Oh, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? When you got up and you seen the stars, and well, I know when I got up, I seen the stars. Some of you got up and the sun was shining already, huh? But it was like, this is how Thursday morning started off. Thursday morning, I got up at 4 something, and the sun came up. It was nice and calm. It was beautiful. And I thought, man, I wish I was fishing. And then this morning I got up, I came here, it was beautiful. And I thought, man, I wish I was fishing. What else is on my mind? You know, there was this thing going around on Facebook challenging us to put pictures of the fish that we catch. And unfortunately, I think I went fishing twice this year, and I don't think I caught anything. So this is what I was going to do, but I didn't do it yet. I was going to put that scripture that I will make you fishers of men and take pictures of you guys, one each day. And that'd be the best catch of all, right? Because that's going to last forever. You catch a fish, you eat it, and it's gone. Amen. Wow, it's so good to be here, even if it's hot. Jaywin was telling me, we got the best people in this church, because no matter how hot it is, you guys still show up. Man, the fans are going and you guys are fanning yourselves, but you guys are still here. Isn't it cool that, you know, we're so out in the country that we let you guys wear shorts? Yeah, except for me, but that's all right. Well, we're going to continue to our second part, we're going to close out this series, Out Of and Into. And we talked about this last week. It's like, man, God called his people out of Egypt to take them someplace, right? He didn't call them out of slavery and bondage just to leave them wandering around, although they did wander around for quite some time. And the thing is, they were wandering around. They were wandering and wandering around for 40 years. And like I said, maybe they were afraid to go into the promised land, because in the wilderness where they were wandering, they had the pillar of fire by night and they had the cloud by day. They had Moses, Aaron, to instruct them. Now, they were supposed to go into the promised land, and they was like, wow, if we go, will this pillar be gone now? Who are we going to follow? How, you know, Moses is not going to be there. Maybe they were afraid. And the question I closed with last week is this: are you willing to leave the wilderness? I mean, seriously, okay, because God takes you out of your past, and then, you know, you go through this, and some people get stuck in the wilderness and they never enter the promised land. He says, are you willing to leave the wilderness? Deuteronomy 6:23, he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. God wanted to bring his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. Now, you got to understand that to take them out of Egypt and to bring them someplace better, they had to do something. There was like an action required, right? Because you cannot, this is not like Star Trek where you can say, beam me up, Scotty, because I cannot beam you nowhere, right? You gotta do something. There's steps. You cannot just snap your fingers and bang, you're out of the slavery and into the promised land. There was something, some action required. In order for us to get out of a troubled life and get into a fulfilled life, we need to do something. Amen? Look, this is what happened in Numbers 13, 30, and 32. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone, in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size." Man, when I look around, every man around is a man of great size. I look up to almost every single man in this place. And women. Imagine if I looked at that. And sometimes, man, when I look up to them, it's like, wow, it's intimidating. Right? And I always kind of like was, you know, why am I so short? And, you know, and somebody once told me that God made you like this because you're approachable and you're easy to talk to. What can I say to that, right? Yeah. Man, so because of that report, because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith, God could not take them into the promised land. And the sins and the failures, the idolatry, the murmuring, the wandering, and that whole generation died in the wilderness. I mean, you know, we come to this point in life, and most of you, I'm sure you did, you realize that you need Jesus. So we confess our sins, we say yes to Jesus, and then that's it. These guys got taken out of the slavery. God wanted to do so much more, but he couldn't because of their faith and their disobedience. Maybe that's the life you have been living. Maybe it's the life you know somebody else has been living. Maybe you cannot understand or believe that God can do great things in your life. You don't understand that there is a great possibility of unbroken fellowship with God, a partnership. And on account of that, you kind of like your life following Christ is not what you hoped it would be. And I gotta tell you this, God can do really, really great things. You know, when I made the choice to leave my old lifestyle and experience God's will in my life, man, it made so much difference. And I'm so amazed. And every day I wake up and I look at what God has done. And I was like, wow. I mean, I keep telling you of my past. Not because I'm proud of it, because you can see where I came from. You know, I came from a past of drugs and alcohol and all that bad stuff. Well, let me tell you the other half to it. Let me tell you the side of after coming to know Jesus Christ. Because I moved here in 1990. And from 1990 to 2000 was that's part of my past where I was caught up in all these drugs and alcohol and things like that. And during those years, my wife and I, we got married in 1991, correct, right? Ooh. Whew. Men, remember your anniversary date and the year, okay? Just something to throw out there. But we never went anywhere on vacation. From the time we moved out on our own, we never went to anywhere vacation. We never had money. We never went out on dates. We never did anything. My poor wife, she suffered for 10 years, you know, through that. And so come the year 2000, and I make a change in my life. I find God, and it is, you know, it's like, this is life. So since 2000 to now, yeah. God has used me to lead many people to the Lord. I've got to share at dozens and dozens of funerals, which you may think it's morbid, But when I get to do a funeral, it's exciting because I get to share the word of God. When I get to go to the hospital, it's exciting because I get to pray for somebody who's in need. And I get to share hope with them. We go on dates. I think sometimes we go on dates twice a week, which my wife is happy now. Because she got off Friday. Friday was a holiday. She got off early. I took her to see Ben-Hur, which was really good. Go see that movie. We had a lunch date, and then we went. And since coming to know and walk in the Lord's will, I got to say, we've been to Disneyland at least 5 times. I mean, that's my wife's favorite place now. So now, when we can't go, we got to watch the videos of when we went. Yeah. We've been to Atlanta. We've been to Washington, D.C. We've been to Texas, Washington, Arizona, Chicago. And things that we never got to do before. We never, ever went anywhere before. But since coming to know the Lord, the abundance. My daughter, somebody gave her a 2004 Highlander. A few years ago, somebody sent me a check in the mail for $10,000 saying that I always been helping so much people so many ways, and I was trying to figure out who it came from. I was trying to trace that check, and the Lord told me, don't do it. Somebody gave anonymously, let them be anonymous. Like, man, maybe one of you sitting here. I don't know. Could be. I'm just trying to see who. We get the gold chains around the neck. But, I mean, I tell you, since the before days, when you just drank and you got hungover and you did the same thing over and over again, to now, shoot, life is so much better. When we go fishing now, we catch fish. Before, we would throw the lines out without bait so nothing wouldn't bother us. You know what I mean, right? Spiritually, I mean, look, spiritually, God had given me this opportunity to serve each and every one of you, to love you, to help you, to equip you. I mean, talk about a blessing. That is just amazing. Yeah, I know it's great responsibility. And some people think, well, yeah, Pastor Scott, yeah, he works 2 hours on Sunday. I want that job, man. Yeah, but I get to serve and learn and grow. And I tell you what, I left, when I made that choice to leave my Egypt, man, I was making a trail to that promised land as fast as I could, because life was, back in my Egypt, life was not so good for me because I was doing the wrong things. Sometimes, perhaps, you enjoy fellowship with God. Sometimes you feel like you're far away from Him. Other times, you know, you feel low and empty. Man, that doesn't have to be that way. You just gotta make that choice. I'm going to leave my Egypt. I am not going to take no 40 laps or 40 years in the wilderness. I don't have that luxury. I don't know if I have 40 years left. But I am going to leave my Egypt and I'm going to make a beeline straight to the promised land because I want that abundance. I want that peace. I want that life that God promised me. Amen? So number one, here it is. Are you ready and willing to leave the wilderness? I tell you what, because if you're not willing, you're not ready, God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to drag you by your, you know, when you were naughty and somebody pulled your ear and said, come here. God's not going to do that to you. He loves you too much to do that to you. Numbers 14, 3 and 4. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Man, these guys, they were afraid. They got it all wrong. They were looking, they were trying to move forward, but they were looking back. And they were envying. I don't know why would they envy being a slave in Egypt. I don't understand. But sometimes we get stuck in looking at our past. Family, are you willing? Are you willing to give up that old sinful lifestyle to walk with God continually? To submit yourself wholly to the will of God? Man, if you would just plead with God, just ask Him. Lord, I want your will for my life. I want the blessing. I want the peace. I want to give up my lifestyle that doesn't please you. We need to be willing and holy, ready to serve the Lord, to leave the past in the past and get into that promised land. Amen? Then, you know, sometimes we look and we think, you know, man, look at my past. Look at my life. God cannot bring me here. Man, you know what? Look at my life. He can. He can bring you into His promised land. He wants to. You may say, like, wow, you don't know. I get so much stuff tangled up in business and in my job and my family and this and that. And you may be thinking of every excuse possible to prevent you from entering this promised land. And I say to you, put every excuse down. Lay them aside. Who is making you make these excuses? It's not God. It's the enemy. Throw them away. Man, 20 years ago, I would have never dreamed of this. 15 years ago, I'd never dreamed of this. I never thought it was possible. My lifestyle wasn't nearly pleasing to God. But look what He did. I look in the mirror in the morning, and not only do I see a short Okinawan man with white hair, I look in the mirror in the morning and I see a miracle. I was like, wow, God, if you could do that with me, imagine what He could do with you. 5'8", 5'9", 6', all of you, man. Shoot, he could do wonders with all of you. And it's like, I look at I'm the youngest. I am the least of these. And look what he has done. I mean, talk about a walking miracle. I believe I am one of those walking miracles. But we got to look. What kept Israel out of the promised land? Man, because those guys blew it. Two guys says, let's go. 10 guys says, no way. And they listened to the 10. And their whole generation died. Man, we gotta ensure that each one of us, the one on your left and the one on your right, that we don't fall into that same trap in saying, like, man, I cannot do this. It's too hard. That's what they were saying. Man, we gotta look at our neighbor and encourage him, say, yes, we can. We can do this. We can enter the promised land. We can enjoy His peace, His love, His abundance. Amen? You can. Even if you have a bad temper or you have a lot of pride, you fell for temptation, if you will trust in the promises of God, man, what a great place to be. Because you might want to write this down, you plus God equals victory, right? You plus God is majority. You plus God is everything you need, right? You plus God is, that's it. There's no other equation to that. There's no other formula. You plus God equals that. It's all you need. I like to look at the life of Peter. Peter, oh, he was always that one guy to put his foot in his mouth. Always saying things before he thought. And Peter failed again and again. And it finally came to the point where he denied Christ 3 times. I mean, most of you, I doubt if you denied Christ that many times. But if you look at the transformation of Peter in the beginning of Acts, wow, amazing. The power of the Holy Spirit, the boldness that came out in him. He found God, he made the choice, and he went. And although he suffered, he still praised God. So see, this is the thing. First, God, he brought you out so that he could bring you in. He brought us out of our Egypt. Secondly, he wants to bring us into the land, the promised land. And thirdly, how does he do it? Number two, how does God bring us in? Man, it's simple as just following his lead. Right? You just follow God. You ever follow somebody? You ever go on a trip somewhere that you don't know the roads and you got to follow somebody in the LA traffic and on the freeway at 95 miles an hour? And if you don't follow them, you get lost in your history. You stay close, right? Yeah, you follow. Man, think of God. That you got to follow him that close. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. You know, if you're going to try to follow God without ever reading his word and applying his word, then forget it. It's going to be very, very difficult. Man, you got to get in his word. Get to know his character. Understand his instructions. Because that's what the word of God, that's what the Bible is there for. Some scholars say that it would have taken the Israelites only 10 days to get where they needed to reach the promised land. But it took them 40 years. Man, do you ever feel like you're in that 40-year mode? Just waiting on the east side of the Jordan. Just waiting, looking at the promised land, looking at everybody else's life and the abundance and saying, where's mine? God brings us by leading us. Leading us every day when we get up, when we read, when we pray, when we seek him, he wants to lead you. Man, remember when they were going to go across? The river was overflowing. And they said, man, how can we cross this Jordan? The river is swollen. And they were told, tomorrow, Joshua told them, tomorrow God would do wonderful things for them. The trumpets would sound, the priests would take up the ark, and they were to pass through the Jordan. And could you imagine these guys, like, man, I don't know if I can do it. I can't swim. I was one of those guys, you know, I can't swim. Sometimes when we would go fishing, we would have to swim to certain places. I mean, I know one time Pastor Alex kicked me off of the boat at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the shore was over there. And it's like, I cannot swim. And I cannot stay on this boat because I get seasick. Good thing had Brother Keahi because he would pull me to shore on that raft. Yeah. But could you imagine these guys like, I cannot swim. We're going to cross the Jordan. And they blew the trumpets. They took the ark. And when they stepped into the Jordan by faith, the wall of water just stood up. Dried up, walk across. Man, if you've seen that, you'd be like, shoot, man, I'm following God forever. Check this out. Us guys would probably be looking for fish here on the ground. Yeah. Man, those guys, the believing ones, they just went. They were probably asking, where's Moses? Why can't Moses just do something or like poof and part the Red Sea? No, they had to take they had to take a step of faith first. Often that's what is required of us, that you know, we step first and then God will do his miracles. Man, some of us, we said yes to Christ, but yet we're like, where is it? Where is the fruit, the goodness, the abundance, the peace, the everything? Man, you and I serve the same God. Maybe he needs to bring you out of bondage, get you out of that, but he's ready and willing to. I believe that he wants to see you enter the promised land. He doesn't save you and me just to keep you in the wilderness. He's not like one of those, like, you know, like we're a pet and we want to keep him in an aquarium all closed up for ourselves so we can watch him. You know, if you catch the chameleons and you put them in a cage just so you can watch them and feed them and play with them. Man, God saves you so that he can love you and that you can have this abundance that he wanted you, that fellowship. God didn't save you so that you can have a mediocre life. He didn't save you for he wanted. He saved you so that you can have an abundant life. He saved you to give you a better life. Okay? Now understand this. It's not an easier life. It's not a life where the road is paved smooth and straight. Okay? It's a better life. It's a better life, but it takes work. Because you know what? When you're doing the will of God, you can expect resistance from the enemy. Those are what we call trials. And the life of a Christian are full of trials. But you understand that the trials is going to strengthen you and grow you. And God wants this for you. Amen? He wants you to come out of that bondage, that slavery. He brings you out of that so that he can bring you in to this, the promised land, hope, peace, you know, a fruit, abundance. Amen? Isn't that great? I asked the worship team if they could come up. I'm going to close with this. Maybe there's somebody out there who never said yes to Jesus Christ, who never confessed with their mouth, who may be still stuck in your old lifestyle and you need a new one. Maybe this is your day. Maybe this is your moment. Maybe this is the exact purpose that God woke you up and brought you here. Maybe you're stuck in the wilderness and you're tired of it. And you need to say, I want to follow you into the promised land. Then if that's you, then just pray with me. And if you want to receive Jesus, then pray with me also. Would you bow your hands and pray this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Lord, for the rest of us here who are stuck in the wilderness and who want to get out. Lord, I pray that they would make the choice to follow you out of bondage, follow you through the wilderness, and follow you into the promised land. I pray for those who are not experiencing this abundant life, that they would take action and do something about it, that they would follow you, that they would pick up the word, and they would understand what your will is, and that they would follow your ways and learn your character and learn your will. I pray that you would bring them into a life of abundance and peace and unending joy. Lord, I pray for each one here that they would experience this abundance, that they would experience the journey into this promised land. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus.